Welcome to today's episode. Here's a quick trailer for you. Be sure to stick around and catch the full episode.
One of the big cages that my clients live in is the cage of niceness or people pleasing. I'm going to be who you want me to be so that you like me. And so I said, all right, everybody come closer. And then we had them all sit in the first two rows. And then I just taught my heart out. It's worth the money for the professional because you can get something, but for not that much, you can get really high quality. And it's the most moving stuff ever. If you're considering working with somebody or coming to something and you see people who are really authentically, enthusiastically sharing about their experience, it moves us. We're like, yeah, wow, I can be that person. I want that for me. I can't come up with all the content because I'm not in the room yet. And there's something about that, especially in person, that if I pre-generated all the stuff we were going to do, man, there were so many beautiful moments that would have been lost. I would do spontaneous role plays with people, and it just brought the room really close together. People could feel like a level of intimacy to be able to bring things up and share and ask questions. To me, it's another day at work. To them, it's like the potential for a profound different direction in their life. The biggest obstacle to increasing our boldness, taking risks, betting on ourselves and going for it is one thing. We're afraid of rejection and or its cousin failure. Sometimes in life, you pull the gold ball. And it was a beautiful moment because that's the long shot. That's the thing you think you're not going to get. The force of impact and benefit to people's lives is not the content, it's you.
Have you ever wondered what event leaders are doing right now to pack their rooms and convert attendees into high-ticket clients? Welcome to the High Profit Event Show, the podcast for experts who want to maximize profits and impact through live events. I'm Rudy Rodriguez, and each week I interview industry leaders to share what's working right now when it comes to filling your events, engaging your audience, and getting clients to enroll into your high-ticket programs. So stick around and be sure to hit that subscribe button. Welcome to today's episode. Today we have a special guest and a dear friend of mine, Dr. Aziz. Welcome to the show, sir.
Thank you, Rudy. I'm glad to be here, man.
Yeah, welcome back, man. You were actually a guest here on our show early on, about a year ago when we first launched the program. And happy to hear that you actually have been the third most popular episode on our platform. So we wanted to bring you back as a special guest. Welcome, welcome, welcome. And for our audience who are just now being introduced to you, Dr. Aziz is a world-renowned confidence expert. In fact, he's the CEO and founder of the Ultimate Confidence Institute, and he runs events, both virtual and in person. And you live in Oregon, and I think you recently did an event in Oregon just last month. So you got a lot of lessons to share with us from that experience. So welcome back.
Yeah, absolutely. Happy to share all the victory and the challenges.
Awesome, brother. So I think for our audience, maybe give us a little bit of background about that event. What was the event? Where was it? How long was it? And maybe a little bit about the story leading up to it. And then I'd love to hear from you what the outcomes were and what the lessons were that you learned. What are the things you wish you knew then that you know now?
Yeah. I mean, and I think that's okay. So there is so much related to this in-person event for a number of reasons. It was the first in-person experience I've led in 3 years. I was doing events 3 to 4 times a year before COVID, and then that went to 0 in-person and all virtual. This particular event, I'd never done it before. I never ran it virtually. This event, which was called Liberate Yourself, and the idea is that we're liberating ourselves from the various cages that we can live in. And one of the big cages that my clients live in is the cage of niceness or people pleasing. I'm going to be who you want me to be so that you like me. Or also the cage of social anxiety. Like, I got to hide myself. I'm not okay as I am. And so the purpose of the event was to help the participants liberate themselves from these cages and see and run an experiment with me. Say, we're going to be together for 4 days in person. Let's see if you can leave this event on Sunday as a different version of you. And that was the invitation and the challenge and the game. And this, fascinatingly enough, this event called Liberate Yourself, I hadn't done it before, except for that's not entirely true. I had run an event called Liberate Yourself once before, 9 years ago. I was still in my graduate training. I was doing my internship at Portland State University, and I'd never done anything before. I'd never run an event before. I was working in a counseling center and I'd gone to, I think, my second Tony Robbins seminar and was like, yeah, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do something. And so I didn't have a practice. I was still in training, but I was like, I'm going to do this event. And I came up with a topic and it was going to be just a 2-hour thing. And I positioned it in an evening. I put it on campus. I made it free, for God's sakes. I mean, of course, tons of people are going to come, right? I was following Tony's RPM method of like your purpose, your outcome, your why, and all this, and massive action. And I was doing it. And I went and I actually got in touch with all these professors who had large seminar style classes with 200, 300, 400 students in them. And I got like 6 or 7 of them to come allow me to go give a little 1-minute pitch about my workshop. And I mean, these rooms had 300 people in them. And so I'm counting, I'm like, oh man. I mean, the room I got could hold like 50, 60 chairs. And so I thought this thing was going to fill up. They asked me when they're setting up the room, they're like, how many chairs do you want in there? I'm like, how many does it hold? And they said like 65. I was like, 65, baby, no aisle. We want it standing room only. And so I get there and I plan the event. I let people come in and I'm standing in a different room and I'm going to come on and I open the door and see who's there. And there's like 7 people there and they're scattered throughout the whole audience. And one of them is my friend. He brought his aunt and his cousin. And one of them is the woman I was dating at the time. So there was like 3 new people that I didn't know there. And I felt instantly this moment of like surprise and failure. And then there's this another thought though, is like, hey, I'm not going to like run out of the room crying. Like I'm going to deliver. And so I said, all right, everybody come closer. And then we had them all sit in the first 2 rows. And then I just taught my heart out. And I've learned so much about how to help people in those last 9 years. But I'd say that the essence of what I was doing there, which was showing people how they could free themselves, was the same damn thing I was doing just 2 weeks ago at my event. And the energy was the same. And it was a profound experience to come full circle and have all that I've created over the last 9 years come together to serve people just even more and even more powerfully. That's the long version of the winding road to this, where this event came from.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing that. And you've done several events. You've upgraded quite a bit since those 3 attendees many years ago, 9 years ago. And I know you've done events with hundreds of people virtually. And I'm curious, this event that you've done, you did recently, and you mentioned it's 4 days, first time in person since COVID. And curious as to what some of the results were for that, like how many people came to the event, what was the outcome of the event, that kind of thing.
Sure. Well, when I was thinking about how I wanted to do in-person stuff, I decided that I wanted to keep virtual events really accessible in terms of price. So we have our super early bird price at like $97 for regular and $297 for VIP. So pretty much most people scrape together $97 for 3 days of training. So that's what I want to do, the virtual. And I wanted the in-person experiences to be a bit more intimate and exclusive. So we set the early bird price at $597 and $897 for the VIP. So I knew that would reduce attendance, but I felt like I wanted it to be this more intimate experience. And we had about 55 participants. We had a pretty great show. We contacted everyone ahead of time to make sure. And we think we had about 50, we only had like 3 or 4 people that couldn't make it. So it was really solid. We only had 1 person who stopped coming after the first day. We never, like, where did she go? I don't know. We reached out and ghosted us. So maybe it was too much, and that's okay. So we had about 49-50 that just stayed throughout the 4 days. So this really strong, intimate group. I did make an invitation to join my mastermind program, my 12-month program. And out of the 50, there was 30 that were already currently in my mastermind, had been in my mastermind, or a few of them were like free tickets for friends and family and stuff. So out of that, there was 20 people, I would say, who were eligible to want to go further in the mastermind. And we had 5 of those people say they wanted to move forward. And then I ended up talking to each of them after the event and making sure it was a good fit and everything. And we had all 5 of them say yes, which I think is a testament to in-person experiences. Right? It was a different energy. And you can get that from virtual too. You can have the people who are like, yeah, I'm ready. But you also get the people who are kind of like, I wasn't there on day 2, but yeah, I don't know, I want to. Whereas here, all 5 of them were like, yeah. Maybe they were scared, they had some concerns, but they're so moved by that 4 days together. And they've just experienced so much change already that the doubt of can this work, which is probably one of the biggest reasons people don't move forward, even though they say it's the money or the time, that doubt is really released because they're like, wow, no, I feel very different after those 4 days.
That's awesome, man. Congratulations on having about 5 out of roughly 20 people move forward, 25%. That's a pretty great number for how people move forward. One of the things that I appreciate about how you do events is you create a massive engagement at your events. I haven't seen a in person one yet, but the virtual ones I've been a part of, because people are there, their cameras are on, they're leaning in, their gaze, they're doing the work, and then people show up and come back. So you've done a really great job of creating a tribe and a wolf pack.
Yeah.
And it's just really cool to observe how you go about that. Curious to hear, as far as lessons learned, I think this is where the juice is, right? There's like knowing what you know now, but what do you wish that you would have known prior to this most recent event?
Yes, definitely some lessons learned. We were also a little rusty. It had been 3 years since an in-person event. Also, I've had some team changes since then. So I was running like a bigger, more top-heavy, expensive, clunky operation, I'd say, before COVID. And then COVID really, the virtual thing really like leaned things out and also helped me have time to reflect and clean up things where I was in dynamics and relationships that were not a hell yes, that were not the best. So when I came back into this, I was like, we're going to keep this one small. We're going to keep it lean. And we're going to just have like a core of people involved that I know are like, I don't want someone in the room who can do a function like the sound or something for the room, but energetically they're closed down. They're not very confident. They're not into the material that much. Like that's not, I want people who are, yes, it's the sound guy, but he can also talk to you about your confidence, desires, and issues. Even if he's not called on for that, it's just, they're really supporting the energy of the room. So it was lean. And a couple things that I would learn or know differently is, one, we didn't have any baked in time for in-person video testimonial gathering, which was an oversight. And so it was kind of like we were on day two, people were having these radical transformations and they were like, how, when are we going to film it? How do we have, we don't have a camera. We had a camera for pictures, but there's a few different ideas floated by, but the day was so full. And we just, I would bake in a process, which we used to have before COVID, of like at this time, and I'm going to enroll people who wants to volunteer and make a compelling case for why it's useful and beneficial for you and for others to speak up and share, and then have a place that we're going to record it. So the do different is, and this relates to also to photos too. We took photos, we had, but they were just two different people. One of them was my wife and one was a person, a volunteer on the team who took photos. They're photos, they look okay. But man, like professional photos are like emotional and nice and look good. And so what I'm going to bring in for the next in-person event is have a in-person photo a professional come and take photos for maybe half of one of the days and then come back on the last day for video testimonial gathering and have another room or a little corner that we have and a light and a camera. And then actually pre-made, I'll probably come up with the questions ahead of time, but I won't be asking them. I'll have someone on my team ask just, and keep it quick. We used to do long interviews for like 15, 20 minutes. It's like, why? Just really 3-4 questions get done in 3-4 minutes, 5 minutes, and then collect those. Because we got some testimonials after remotely, which is good. But when people are watching and they see someone in the environment and see their enthusiasm, that's what we missed out on. And so I'm committed to making sure we capture those moments for the next event.
Yeah, what I'm hearing you say is it's important to capture the moment and to have a professional team that can do that, because that's a magic thing when you can capture like the energy, the excitement, the emotion of what they're going through versus like after the fact, it kind of sizzles off.
Yeah, it's worth the money for the professional, because you can get something, but you can get, for not that much, you can get really high quality. And it's the most moving stuff ever. If you're considering working with somebody or coming to something and you see people who are really authentically, enthusiastically sharing about their experience, it moves us. We're like, yeah, wow, I can be that person. I want that for me. So that would be a big one. Another one, which I almost feel like I would have, maybe we talked about it in my first interview with you, but this was really fascinating how it was like a lesson that I finally got moving up towards the event, preparing for the event. There was a lot of logistical stuff because of in person, first time. It used to all be at a storage facility that someone on my team handled. Now a lot of that stuff's at my house that I had to go through and gather and bring, which is not my forte. So there was handling the logistics, but then there was prepping the content. And I kept on for like 2 to 3 weeks before the event, kept on sitting down and being like, I gotta come up with what I'm doing. And it was stressful and it felt like I was swimming upstream and I would just draw blanks. And it's weird because when I'm recording videos and teaching and I don't draw blanks, I just always, there's always something there. And I kind of stressed about it for a while. And then I finally got, I can't come up with all the content because I don't know because I'm not in the room yet. And there's something about that, especially in person, that if I pre-generated all the stuff we were going to do, man, there were so many beautiful moments that would have been lost. Because I came in, I had a theme and a focus for the morning session, the afternoon session, but it was like high level, like bullet points and then big gaps. And right before each segment, the morning, the afternoon, I'd be at lunch and some part of my mind was freaking out. Like, what are you going to say? You need to know exactly what you're going to say. I was like, I don't know. And then I would go in, I got better at riding that wave of, I don't know, but I have faith that it's going to be exactly what we need. And then what would happen is someone would share something or ask a question and it would like flower into this really powerful teaching moment, a spontaneous exercise. I would do spontaneous role plays with people and it just brought the room really close together. People could feel like a level of intimacy to be able to bring things up and share and ask questions. There was space for that. And then just lots of really memorable moments where someone would be really working with something in the group and people could feel it. And it was just profoundly connecting too. So it really taught me to take that risk of going in pretty open and trusting in my years of experience of working with people and knowing I can do that. And so I'm actually going to bring that not just to my next in-person event, but also to virtual events, which I've kept a bit more structured. And I'm like, if you bring in a lot of people's input, it's just going to be this messy, confusing thing. But I'm like, no, let's find out. Because there's, especially for what I'm teaching, that rawness and realness is very compelling. So that's a huge thing that I learned as well.
Yeah, great, man. Thank you for sharing that. I do remember you mentioned something along that line in the initial interview, where it's like the balance between having the plan and structure and then being present and being in the flow and serving the people in front of you. So really cool to hear how that transpired here at your most recent in-person event. Anything else you'd like to share as far as lessons learned or things that you might have done differently now having had the recent experience?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's always good to reflect on your process around, I'd say impact was amazing. People like kept on coming up to me and sharing how impactful it was. And a number of those people had been in my world for a little while virtually. And they were like, this is so different. And I'm like, I know. And so that I felt really good about that. I think a couple little enhancements I would do. There was one gentleman who came up. I made a decision at the beginning of this event, given there's only 50 people there. I'm just going to be more accessible. I'm not going to play this game of like, hey, I'm behind the stage and I'm too important. I'm just like, hey, if I feel like I need to take care of my energy and I need to withdraw, you know, I will. But if I'm during breaks and someone wants to ask me a question, I'll answer it. I'll talk to people. And so I had this one gentleman that came up to me and most people were asking me questions or wanted help with something and I would help them. And this guy came up to give me feedback, and which is fine. But the way it was delivered was kind of, listen, when you get a little further along in your development, like me, you'll see blah, 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 you know? And the first time it happened, I was like, okay, well, thanks for the input. And then it came again the next day. And what I realized, this happened 3 times over the course of the event. And what I realized is I do want feedback, but I want to bake it into the process to be able to have a limit and say like, thank you for your feedback. We do want to hear it. One is tell them a person on my team to share it with. And number two is to have a form that people can fill out at the end. So that way he gets to be heard and I can get all that feedback. but it's not right in the middle when I'm trying to help people with what's going on. So that was a simple little tweak I would make. And the other thing is around the process of making an offer at the event. I think this is something that you and your team does great, is like really mapping out then what happens and then what happens. And ours was rusty because it was literally 3 years ago. We're like dusting off old application pamphlets, like, does this still work, and updating it. And so there's little gaps or friction in the process. It wasn't smooth. But one decision I made, actually, I pulled an audible where we were going to have it be like in our virtual events, people put a deposit for the mastermind, and then I will meet with them after the event over the next couple of days to make sure it's a good fit and have time for a longer enrollment call if needed. In person, we used to do it that people would just sign up there. And so that's how I was going to do it. And then I made the offer on Saturday, which was the third day. And then the morning of the fourth day, though, I was like, you know what? There, some people will sign up just right out. But I think I felt called, like, I want to give the opportunity to talk to each person in depth. So we changed it and said, you don't sign up for the whole mastermind here at the event. You just put the $497 deposit, just like a virtual event, and I'll talk to you after. And I did. And it was such a good move. In fact, the fifth person that joined said that if she needed to sign up at the event, she wouldn't have done it. That she personally had some sense of like, I need space to reflect. And so like she had the space. We didn't talk till like a couple of days later. And she just felt so, and I just realized, oh yeah, and obviously that's not feasible if you got the certain number of people or your own energy and what you feel capable for. So, but for me personally, I was like, ooh, I'm going to do that. And so I'm going to bring that forward to the next event and just have that hands-on approach, which is after teaching, for leading up to the event, teaching for 4 days, breaking everything down, moving the equipment with me and my friend. There's a part of me, I was just like, I just want to be done for a couple of days. But what I realize when it comes to enrollment is like people are in, to me, it's another day at work. To them, it's like the potential for a profound different direction in their life. And so if I can dig deep and just find the energy to output a bit more for a couple of days, really a couple of days, not that big of a deal. This could be a change, and it's obviously helpful for the business and the thriving of the mastermind program, but also for this person, it's like profound. So like, all right, rally, deliver for a couple more days, then take a 3-day weekend, chill out. And that hands-on connection is appreciated by my clients. And I think it really makes a difference too.
That's awesome, brother. What a great rabbit hole we just went down there with. I'm hearing you say you chose to make yourself more accessible and relatable, also that you created feedback mechanisms, or that you would create feedback mechanisms so that it was manageable, and also how you went about the enrollment process. It really worked to allow time and space for them to apply and have that individual conversation with people out of the event, outside of the event. So something I'm a big fan of too is, you know, get the application process. And you and I have talked about this several times. Awesome, man. Thank you for sharing this.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you have an event that's coming up, I believe, in about a month's time. And then another one, I think, in the fall. I'd love to hear from you a little bit about your future events that you have coming up so that our listeners who want to learn more about you and your work have an opportunity to check you out, maybe even attend one of your events.
Yeah, man. So the next event, it's called the Ultimate Confidence Breakthrough. And that's what we're gearing to do, is help all the participants have a major breakthrough in their confidence. And the biggest obstacle to increasing our boldness, taking risks, betting on ourselves and going for it is one thing. We're afraid of rejection and or its cousin, failure. And the reason failure feels so bad is not that we can't pick back up. It's that we feel bad about ourselves. And same reason for rejection. So it's the same root that we're going for here. And so we're going to go right to that root and help people shift that in a deep way. My new favorite visual metaphor that came from this Liberate Yourself event is, and this is patented, by the way, so no one else can take this, Dr. Aziz's bag of balls, trademark. So I had this cloth sack that I filled with about 100 ping pong balls. About 70 of them were red and 30 of them were green. And throughout the course of the 4 days, I was making this metaphor of like, hey, we don't control the outcome, but we do take the risk. And when you reach into the bag, you do not know if you're going to pull out a red or a green. You don't know if the people are going to say yes. You don't know if that person's going to want to date you. You don't know if that business marketing plan is going to get you what you want, right? So do you avoid reaching into the bag? Do you reach into the bag once every 5 years? Or do you reach in? And then when you pull a red ball, what happens? And for most people, when they pull a red ball, they say, I suck and I'm bad. And that's what we're changing at the Confidence Breakthrough. So I'm going to, in the virtual format, bring back my bag of balls. It was a hit, man. And fun side note, I actually took 3 of the green balls before the event with my son. And we had this gold spray paint and we spray painted them shimmery bright gold. And I didn't know if anyone was going to pick a gold ball during the event because there's the odds are low. But we did this one. So sometimes I'd start the morning being like, all right, who wants to take a risk? Once I'd walk over to someone, they'd raise their hand and I'd say like, so what's your risk? And this gentleman was like, I would ask a woman out. I was like, all right, so let's see what happens, everybody. When he reaches in and he pulls out a red ball, and I trained the audience to, when you get a red ball, what do? You cheer because you took the action, you scramble it. And then I was like, so what do you do after you pull a red ball? You sit down and you never ask anyone out again, you loser. And then everyone laughed. And so I had him pull. And after the third time, he got a green ball. And it's such a powerful, simple metaphor. But the very next person, I said, who else wants to take a risk? I go over to this young man and I was like, what's the risk? And he's like, I'd apply for a job that I don't think I'm good enough to get. And he reaches in and he pulls out a gold ball. And no one knew there was gold balls. No one had seen one yet. And this is on day 3. And the audience was like, what? And then to make it even greater, a friend of mine who was at the event, I told him that if anyone pulled a gold ball, I wanted to give them $100, just spontaneously, $100 bill of cash. But I didn't have any money on me. So I pulled my buddy aside. I was like, hey, I need $100 in case someone gets a green ball. And I knew he carries like a certain amount of money on him just as like a sign of abundance. So all of a sudden, my friend like walks through the audience and no explanation hands this guy a $100 bill as well as he's holding the green ball. And everyone's confused. They're like, what's going on? I was like, sometimes you pull a red ball, sometimes you pull a green ball, but sometimes in life you pull the gold ball. And it was a beautiful moment because he said he was going for, that's the long shot. That's the thing you think you're not going to get. So I'm going to bring the bag of balls back to the virtual format. I love it. I'll probably have it at every event from now on. So it's such a good teaching tool. And then we have an event in the fall called Supremely Confident Conversation Master. How to talk to anyone with confidence in conferences, social settings, dinner parties, networking events, how to be fully confident, know how to steer the conversations, know that you're interesting and compelling and really draw people out. And that one was going to be virtual, but on the drive home from my last in-person event, I was talking with my colleague and we had so many people say like, when's the next in-person event? And I was like, next year. And they were like, oh. And so we started talking on the way home and I was like, hey, can we switch it? And I made some research, some phone calls. So we're doing it at the hotel again. So Conversation Master November is going to be in person. So I'm super excited about that one.
That's awesome, brother. Yeah, I was just pulling up your website so I can take a look at these. So for our audience listening in here, we're going to include links to these upcoming events and Aziz's website so you can easily click and view. And so cool that you're going to do another in-person event in November. Really exciting, man. Congrats.
Thank you, man. Yeah. Got to give the people what they want. And I just felt the power of it too. And I love the mixture where some people who might not be able to make it out for an in-person can still attend and experience a profound change from anywhere. And then also the people that want the in-person experience can have that. So it's really the best of both worlds.
Awesome, brother. Thank you for that. And any closing comments or remarks for our listeners as we wrap up our episode today?
Yeah, man, I think just one thing that I realized is there can be a stress before running an event, all kinds of stresses, like are enough people going to come? Is the content good? Can I do it? And even people that are really accomplished, I think might have some of that energy come up beforehand. The responsibility, am I enough? I don't know. And then they get into it and they probably start teaching and it's fine. But I think just really knowing that the force of impact and benefit to people's lives is not the content, it's you. And yes, you have specific knowledge and teaching and tools and things you're doing with people that are beneficial and your expertise, but like just being in a room with you or virtually with you for days in a row is transformative for people. And you don't have to like effort to make that. You just got to be like boldly you. And whatever's going to come through you, that transmission is valuable. It's your gifts. And so I encourage you to give them fully.
Awesome, brother. Well said. Thank you for those closing remarks. And for our listeners, go check out Dr. Aziz. The links are in the description here and get out to one of his next events. Right, awesome, on. Dr. Aziz. Thanks for being a great guest on our show today, sir. We'll go ahead and we'll call it a wrap.
Sounds good, man. Thank you, Rudy.
Thank you for listening to the High Profit Event Show. If you are a seminar leader or thought leader or event service provider who has led or supported profitable, successful events to over 100 people, and you've been effective at enrollment into your high-end coaching, education, mastermind type programs, we're looking for guests. Love to have you on the show. You can go to our website, virtualeventsalesteam.com, click on the podcast tab and submit an application to be on our show. Also, if you found the show to be valuable, share it with someone who you think might benefit from it. Take a moment, please leave a review, and also subscribe if you haven't already. And lastly, if you have an upcoming event, whether it be virtual or in person, and you'd like to have a conversation about how to fill your coaching, education, mastermind programs fast using events, you're welcome to book a complimentary 15-minute consult with either myself or a member of my team on our website, virtualeventsalesteam.com. Again, this is Rudy Rodriguez, and congratulations on investing the time to listen to this episode. I hope it's been valuable. Have a great day.